Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
California Department of Food and Agriculture staff members have joined partners from the State Department of Pesticide Regulation and the University of California's Agriculture and Natural Resources Division to discuss invasive species at the recent 56th Annual Native American Day at the State Capitol. Topics of interest included citrus health, the state's sustainable pest management roadmap, and best practices for handling firewood. CDFA is committed to building partnerships with California Native American tribes and ensuring that agency programs and policies are reflective of tribal priorities. In 2023, CDFA partnered with the Intertribal Ag Council to conduct 4 listening sessions statewide to understand priorities and barriers to assessing CDFA grant funds and technical assistance programs. Low temperatures and fluctuations in environmental conditions are among what researchers Ashraf El Karimi has described as a possible hypothesis for the cause of lemon pitting in California's San Joaquin Valley. Other possible causes include what he called overdoing a good thing, such as fertilizer and irrigation, or something infecting the integrity of the lemon wax layers. El Karimi is a director of university at California Agriculture and Natural Resources Lynn Cove Research and Extension Center and chief investigator for the relatively new lemon pitting issue. In a survey this summer, Valley lemon growers indicated they first observed lemon pitting in 2015. The disorder was observed in other orchards starting in 2020. It has appeared in Lisbon lemon, one of California's most widely grown lemons. Lemons on trees grown on various rootstocks and various types of soils from 4 to 70 years old have been affected. 2 new studies build on the large body of scientific evidence suggesting that almonds can improve diet quality and aid in weight management. They also support weight loss as part of a reduced calorie diet among adults with overweight or obesity. The first study, published in Obesity and funded by the Almond Board of California, tracked 140 Australians aged 25 to 65 years old with overweight or obesity for 9 months. For the first 3 months of the study, the participants reduced their daily calories by 30% through either a nut-free or almond-enriched diet, with almonds providing 15% of their daily calorie needs, which is approximately 1.0 to 1.76 ounces. On both diets, participants lost an average of 15 pounds and improved their lean body mass after 3 months. Moreover, they continued to lose weight about 2 pounds a month during the subsequent 6 months. Sustaining weight loss after a weight management program can be challenging, with many people gaining weight back at the end of the calorie restriction phase of their program, according to Dr. Allison Coates, professor of human nutrition and director of the Alliance for Research in Exercise, Nutrition, and Activity at the University of South Australia. This study showed that adding almonds to a weight management eating plan can not only promote meaningful weight loss, but also offer a healthy and sustainable dietary addition. Participants who ate almonds also saw improvements in some lipoprotein subfractions, which are different kinds of lipoproteins that carry cholesterol and triglycerides in the body, which may reduce cardiovascular risks. Scientific evidence suggests, but does not prove, that eating 1.5 ounces per day of most nuts as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease. Future research should investigate different doses of almonds and test people with additional heart disease and diabetes risk factors as a result that are not generalizable to populations with chronic disease. The second study was a 12-month study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition and also funded by the Almond Board of California. It found that almonds, when eaten long-term as a snack, can improve overall diet quality without causing weight gain among healthy, non-obese, habitual snacking adults in New Zealand. Half of the 136 participants were assigned to eat either 1.5 ounces of almonds or 10% of their daily calorie needs, whichever was greater, while the remaining participants in the control group consumed a calorie-matched high-carbohydrate snack. Participants in the almond group consumed significantly more protein, polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats, fiber, vitamin E, calcium, copper, magnesium, phosphorus, and zinc, and less carbohydrates and sugar than the control group. There were no statistically significant weight changes or changes in lipids during the study in either group, suggesting almonds did not cause weight gain. Women in the almond group did not have a statistically significant change in visceral fat, but men had a statistically significant increase in visceral fat compared to the high carb group. This finding has not been observed in previous studies. It is important to note that this intervention was conducted during the COVID-19 lockdown, which may have affected eating habits and exercise levels. The participants were people at a normal weight or overweight, so results may not be generalizable to other populations, such as those with obesity. The Sacramento Food Bank was a beneficiary of some valuable hitting this past season. During the middle of the final Friday night game of the season, Crystal Creamery presented the Sacramento Food Bank with a $5,000 check, which was the result of a Crystal Creamery fundraiser, which contributed $40 for every double hit this season by members of the Sacramento River Cats. Going into Saturday's game, the team had hit 104 doubles for the season, so Crystal Creamery rounded up the total to $5,000. Crystal Creamery is owned by the Foster family and based in Modesto, California.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a Human Touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
We have today part one of our monthly walnut regulatory update from California Walnut Commission Director of Technical and Regulatory Affairs, Josh Ram. Some new incentive programs applicable to walnut growers have finally come out in the area of drought and flood relief. These programs have been a long time coming, and Ram has the details.
Given that there's really a couple things to take into account here based on the amount of loss in gross receipts or gross profit, that's going to be your gross profit or gross receipts in 2022 compared to the 2019 year. The qualified businesses can receive grants of $60,000 to $100,000 to offset losses related to the drought or storm flood conditions. That breakdowns into a couple categories with $60,000 for applicants with a decline in annual gross receipts or gross profits of 30% or more and less than 40%. There's an $80,000 bucket for applicants with a decline in annual gross receipts or gross profit of 40% or more and less than 50%. And the last bucket is up to $100,000 for applicants with a decline in annual gross receipts or gross profits of 50% or more. Again, that's based on the amount of loss in gross receipts or gross profit in 2022 compared to the 2019 year. Losses, of course, must be verified by federal tax returns. 10% of the funds are reserved for applicants who filed 22 crop year tax returns in 2024. This grant is open to dryers, mills, there's ag aircraft, ag suppliers, service providers, ag trucking, and small or socially disadvantaged farms with 100 or fewer employees in 2019. Again, there's three groupings for this program in terms of the funds and also three groupings for application buckets. So what does that really mean? Well, there are group one, which as long as you can prove from the year 2019 to 2022 with your tax revenue documents that you've had that minimum 10% loss as well as being in drought classification D2, again, D2 or higher, with less than $350,000 in annual revenue, you would qualify for group one and should submit your application. For group two of applicants at this time, the tree nut farming, your NACIS code is not on the approved list of NACIS codes, but take this into account. This does not mean that it would automatically disqualify you. It would mean your application would be set aside for further review based on NACIS code. The system where the application goes would auto decline it. However, if the applicant or farmer called into the call center, they could put that application up for review based on NACIS code. It's encouraged again to submit to both groups for potential relief funding. So there's a number of ways on the website that provide details regarding the grant opportunities and updates on how to apply, including eligibility criteria and signing up to receive other program updates. In addition, this website provides great access to applications and other helpful resources. You can find more on this program at www.cadroughtfloodrelief.com.
Check out part two on Walnut Wednesday next week to hear more regulatory updates from the commission. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown has introduced the bipartisan Fresh Produce Procurement Reform Act legislation that would increase and improve the U.S. Department of Agriculture procurement of fresh fruits and vegetables. The bill would provide the U.S. Department of Agriculture to partner with growers, distributors, and food hubs to provide fresh U.S.-grown fruits and vegetables to community organizations like schools, local food pantries, and youth organizations, while prioritizing socially disadvantaged farmers and entities, regional food inequities, and local and regional food systems. Currently, USDA's existing model for food procurement makes it difficult for highly perishable fresh fruits and vegetables to be procured and delivered to residents in a timely manner. Additionally, the variety of fresh food options is limited. Simultaneously, strong demand exists for fresh fruit and vegetables from community-based organizations and food banks that serve those experiencing hunger, including those that do not have access to existing programs. The Act would provide USDA with an additional tool to partner with existing growers and fresh produce distributors to produce a greater amount of fresh fruits and vegetables, distribute U.S.-grown fresh fruits and vegetables to local food banks, schools, youth-serving organizations, tribal governments, and other nonprofit community members serving nutrition-insecure populations, and strengthen access to a wide variety of U.S.-grown fresh fruits and vegetables to recipients in need by including at least 7 types of U.S.-grown fresh fruits and vegetables to vulnerable communities living in poverty. It also provides opportunities for a wide variety of high-quality produce sourced, packed, and distributed from growers and distributors of all sizes, including veteran, women-owned, and socially disadvantaged members of the agriculture community. The USDA is extending a deadline to apply for the Discrimination Financial Assistance Program. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
If you are a producer who feels that prior to January 21st of 2021, USDA had discriminated against you in its programs, you may be eligible for some financial help. Through a program called Section 22007, the Discrimination Financial Assistance Program created by the Inflation Reduction Act. Monica Range is one of the USDA coordinators of that program, and she says the original deadline to apply for it was October 31st. But a few days ago, she did tell us,
"We are hearing from a number of stakeholder organizations that additional time may be needed to reach all eligible applicants. And so certainly at USDA, we are taking the input from our stakeholders under advisement."
And indeed, USDA has extended the application deadline from October 31st to January 13th. For more information, go online, search 22007 Program Apply. 22007 Program Apply. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
America's farmers and ranchers were in Washington, D.C. recently to state their opposition to the EATS Act. The Ending Agriculture Trade Suppression Act was introduced by Representative Ashley Hinson, a Republican from Iowa, and Senator Roger Marshall, a Republican from Kansas. Groups like the Organization for Competitive Markets, Competitive Markets Action, and several others said the act would nullify more than 1,000 state and local agriculture laws. These laws are in place to protect communities from a number of issues like invasive pests and livestock diseases. The absence of local regulations would create an environment in which foreign conglomerates could rapidly expand across all 50 states. If EATS is included in the upcoming farm bill, it will mark the end of American family farming as we know it. That according to Deborah Mills, director with the Organization for Competitive Markets. The organizations also advocated for the inclusion of the Opportunities for Fairness in Farming Act. Employers can begin applying for a pilot program designed to improve the resiliency of the food and agricultural supply chain by addressing workforce challenges faced by farmers and ranchers. The USDA and other federal agencies are announcing up to $65 million in grants available for the Farm Labor Stabilization and Protection Pilot Program. The program will help to address workforce needs in agriculture, promote a safe and healthy working environment for farm workers, and aims to support expanding lawful migration pathways for workers through expanding the H-2A visa program. The country is facing growing agriculture and workforce challenges that jeopardize farmers' ability to be competitive, threaten the resiliency, abundance, and safety of the food system, and have repercussions for the overall economy. That according to USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. The program will benefit producers and farm workers. Program applications must be received by November 28th. More information about the application process is available at ams.usda.gov. Elevated input costs remain a top concern for agriculture producers because it tightens up profit margins. One of the key input costs during fall harvest, the price of fuel. Patrick DeHaan is the head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, a technology company that tracks prices at gas stations across the country. He says the price of diesel is a gloomy forecast.
The worry is that as we get into fall, we are going to start seeing heating oil demand go up, and heating oil and diesel are essentially the same product, and that's going to put upward pressure on the price of diesel. In addition, we are going to start seeing refineries doing maintenance ahead of the peak of winter, and so that may limit their ability to make sure that we have enough supply before we get into the peak of heating oil season. So I would foresee that diesel prices would likely continue to advance, probably more so in October than September. September may be a little bit of a calm before the storm for diesel prices, but by October, there's a lot of maintenance happening, and that maintenance is likely to impact diesel production significantly, especially along the East Coast, but that could have a ripple effect here in the Midwest. So I think diesel prices will likely continue inching up. We could see diesel prices by the end of the year anywhere from 20 to 35 cents a gallon higher than today. So unfortunately, a little bit of bad news when it comes to the price of diesel.
Aside from upward price pressure from domestic heating oil demand and maintenance, there are other factors that play in the global market. The lingering impacts from COVID and the current Russia-Ukraine war are still influencing fuel prices. DeHaan says there's some good news coming from China's economy, but it's not enough.
Only good news when it comes to that is China's economy, which also had been consuming a lot of diesel last year to power electricity generation, is not doing so this year. So there may be a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but the global macro still is pretty negative as Russia's war in Ukraine continues. Russia tends to supply much of the world's heavy oil in addition to countries like Canada. So Russia and the war in Ukraine is still having a pretty significant impact on diesel. Also impacting diesel is the fact that refining capacity has been constrained over the last couple of years due to things like COVID and because of other refineries also shutting down due to natural events like fires. So we've lost refining capacity. We're down about 1 million barrels a day prior to COVID, and that's having an impact on diesel prices as well.
When it comes to filling up your car, gasoline prices will look better after this weekend when retailers make the switch to winter gasoline. This is gasoline with higher blends of the renewable fuel ethanol, but that doesn't mean it's smooth sailing into the winter.
There's still some bumps in the road. We are still in the midst of hurricane season. Hurricanes have, in years past, made an impact on refinery operations, so that's something to keep an eye on, especially as Hurricane Lee now starts to head north. It may impact one of the largest refineries in the Maritimes in Canada. But beyond that, while gasoline prices do tend to fall in the fall, things like OPEC and refinery outages and hurricane season certainly can play a role. So those are things to keep an eye on.
Once again, Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.